responsively this morning. In these chapters, we've been tracing the actions of Nehemiah as he has led the returned Jews to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Many of the struggles are similar to that which were encountered there in the book of Ezra with the building of the temple when they sought to rebuild it. In our study of Ezra, we discovered the true nature of the hindrances. Satan was behind the opposition. We learned that when we went to Zechariah, who wrote and prophesied at that time. In Zechariah chapter 3, and those first four verses, it said, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." In those verses, Zechariah revealed that it wasn't just the visible people that were there, but that there was one that was behind them, and that was the working of Satan. You know, Satan desires to destroy the work of our God. Satan would desire to destroy the work of this local assembly. He would desire to destroy the testimony in the community. We have one Satan that in Revelation 12:10, it speaks of him as being the accuser of the brethren. Satan is continually there as an accuser of the brethren. It says that he does that night and day before God, to accuse us before God. You know, he can accuse, and rightly so can he accuse, in the sense that many times there is guilt that is upon us. And yet the blessing, and I think when I want to go back to that verse in Zechariah, because in Zechariah chapter 3, Satan was there standing resisting. But let me read to you the next three verses of Zechariah 3, verses 2, 3, and 4. It said, "The Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee. O Satan, even the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." That is such a beautiful picture, I believe, of what the Lord has done for us. Many times we can be accused, and rightly accused, but the Lord is able to take those filthy garments and clothe us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a great thing to know that we can be forgiven and cleansed and have a right standing before God? Satan's desire, as I said, is to destroy. Many times we've quoted that verse in 1 Peter 5:8 when it says, "Behold, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We have a spiritual enemy. We know from Ephesians, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We have an enemy. We have an enemy that is against us, that desires to devour us. And that's why in Ephesians he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And certainly, it's a good place to go if you want to know how do we wage a spiritual warfare against the devil. You go to Ephesians chapter 4. I would suggest you don't go to some of the books that are on the market today that talk about spiritual warfare, that have all kinds of things that would have us to be doing. But Ephesians Ephesians chapter 6 gives us that recipe of the spiritual life that we have to resist him. It's important to know about the presence of Satan. It's important to know his design of defeat and destruction of God's people, and then to know that we are to stand in the power of the Lord's might and not our own. Well, today in our scripture in Nehemiah, we'll see the tactics used on Nehemiah and Nehemiah's ultimate victory as he resists them. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist. It says, submit yourselves therefore unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. We submit ourselves unto the Lord. Submit yourselves unto the Lord and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. A good verse that gives us some direction there. But when we come to Nehemiah chapter 6, we come to the first here of the hindrances that are brought before Nehemiah. Here comes Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and then the other enemies that they had there as they were seeking to build the wall. It says there in the second verse, they sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. There we have overtures that are being made to Nehemiah. Now, of course, you know, when I read that in the English, and I say they were there in the plain of Ono, I said, well, that should have been a good thing right there. You say, oh no, not there. But of course, in the Hebrew, that had no it doesn't have that connotation at all. So that would be a false a false application of the passage of Scripture. But these men come to them and they say, look, we want you to come out and meet with us together out there. You know, you think about that, and you say, for what reason should Nehemiah go? What would be the purpose for his going there? He already knew that these men had sought his demise. He already knew that they had sought in every way they could to stop the work that was going on there, even as we have seen in the previous chapters that are there. He knew that these men did not seek the truth. You know, one of the big things that's been in past years in religious circles is this thing, let us come together and dialogue. Let us come together and find some common ground with which we can meet and with which we can do work together. You know, God has told us that we are not to have fellowship with the works of darkness. God has told us that we're to come out and be separate from them. It is not a popular thing to be known as a separatist group in the sense that we would not work together with other churches. But when we recognize that those with which we would not work are those that have denied much of the faith, and we would not want to be a part of them. But there are those that continually say, come and let us dialogue. Let us, you know, dialogue is where you give up a little bit and they give up a little bit and you come together. When you have the truth, you don't dialogue. You don't give up. You see, when I asked the question, what reason should Nehemiah go? What had he to gain? He only had to lose. They were seeking for their own purposes to get him to come out there, and he was the one that had there to lose. Believers sometimes find themselves in the wrong place. We don't want to help them to justify their position by our being there. You know, a number of years ago, number of years ago, and I've mentioned this when we first moved, when we first came here to this building, and in that first year we were here as a church, there was a young pastor that was the pastor of the Methodist Church in Sparta. He was a young man, and as I understand, he was a man that believed the gospel. He was, I would say, from what I knew of him, he was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted, he says, boy, this would be great. You're coming here. We can do things together. We can get our young people together. And I had to say to him, I said, you know, from what I know and have heard of you, and from what you've said, you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're in a church that has denied many of the basic things with which you say you believe. And I said, I cannot bring and identify our work with your work in doing that. And, you know, as a young Christian, I mean, he was a young pastor, and he said, you know, I understand what you're saying. He said, I thought when I come out here from California that that things would be different in mid, you know, out here in the mid, well, we Midwest, the East, Mid-East, wherever we are. Anyway, he thought it'd be different out here. And I just had to share with him the scriptures. You know, the Lord says in the Word, you need to come out from among them and be separate. But he would have had to gain in getting our association. We would have had to lose in the sense of what we would have done. I believe this is what, although there is much more that is involved here, I think of a scriptural example, and that is when the prophet, the unnamed prophet, went to Jeroboam in Israel, and when he had a false a place of worship and spoke against it. And I remember that after he spoke against that King Jeroboam, and he was headed back home, where the Lord had told him not to stop anywhere. There was another prophet of the Lord that was there in Israel, probably a prophet that had not stood for the Lord, a prophet that had not spoken out against. But he thought, wow, there's a brother, and he called for this brother to come and eat with him. And he said, well, no, the Lord told me I'm not supposed to stop anywhere. But he said, well, the Lord came to me and said, I want you to, you can do that. And that prophet listened to him instead of the word that the Lord had given to him. That prophet told him to do that because he wanted fellowship. But he spoke that which wasn't true. And that unnamed prophet lost his life that day because he followed in the words of another instead of following the Lord. Nehemiah says, why should I leave the work, verse 3? Why should I leave it and come down to you? In verse 4, they sent unto him four times after this sort, and I answered them again after the same manner. They wanted to stop the work. They had there an evil intent. A scripture that we recognize, and sometimes it's often spoken as far as among friends. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Certainly this is the other side of that passage. The kisses of this enemy would have been very deceitful. Nehemiah's response here is a continued refusal. He held to the right answer. You know, do you get wearied down sometimes with continual requests to where you finally give in to where you shouldn't give in? Sometimes kids do that to their parents. They just keep asking, and finally you just get tired of it, and you give them what you know you shouldn't give them. That ought not to be. Sometimes in going with those in wrong associations, and certainly that would have been the case here. They kept it up, but Nehemiah held to his position, and he did that which was right. He didn't get wearied into doing wrong. And so we recognize that as we see there in those verses, we see the false overtures that were made are refused. When we come to verses 5 through 9, look at the false accusations. The false accusations that are brought against Nehemiah and how they're refuted. First of all, it says, then Sanballat, his servant, sent Sanballat, his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, but this time with an open letter in his hand. Here he comes with this open letter in his hand. An open letter, as I understand from what I've been able to read about that, it wasn't just an open letter in the sense that it was open for all to read, but it would have been in a very formal way that it is brought. And we'll see here that it's a formal accusation that is brought. It's a formal accusation that is brought and one that is out there for all to see. And so he brings this the fifth time that they come to him, and here is what was written. Verse 6, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshemoth saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. We see there there's the accusation of you're just wanting to rebel. You're wanting to rebel against the king. You're wanting to have yourself exalted. There is rebellion in your heart. There is that self-exaltation that is in your heart. You want to be top man, and you are standing out. You have these others that are standing up for you. You have these others that are going out and preaching your goodness. Preached to you at Jerusalem. They're gonna say there's a king in Judah, and you're gonna raise yourself up. So they bring this accusation of sedition, accusation of self-exaltation, why would they do such a thing? Why would they bring such a thing before him? Well, he says here in verse 9, it was for the purpose of making them afraid. It was a purpose of bringing fear into their hearts. It was all designed to force this meeting that, in fact, it's kind of a little blackmail, isn't it? Either you come and meet with us, or we are going to send out this accusation, and it's going to end up back before the king in Babylon and the king of Persia, and then you're really going to be in trouble, and they're going to come out and bring it down on you. They wanted to bring fear into their hearts. They wanted a design to cause them to do what they ought not to do. Isn't that a common tactic of our day? It's a common tactic of our day that all they have to do is threaten to sue somebody, and we don't want that. So we capitulate and get what they want. They're threatening. They cause men to fear, and the wicked designs of men are then accomplished. What is the response? What is the response of Nehemiah here? The response here that we see is in the next verse, verse 8. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. He says, those are things that you have just imagined out of your own heart that you have brought these things. These are not the things at all. Of course, as we have studied Nehemiah, we have studied and we have seen his heart from the time he came from Babylon. We have seen the heart of this man. We have recognized and even his not taking wage, but his there helping in the work. Nehemiah was a man of God. Nehemiah was a man that had proven himself before them. But as these accusations are brought forth, and they assign to them that which is not true, they're to bring fear. They're to bring them to come out there to meeting him. Nehemiah knew what was right, didn't he? He knew what was right, and he stood by it, knowing the potential cost of fear that would stop the work. So what do we see in verse 9? For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. There in that ninth verse is a coming together. As these things are coming, it changes over into a prayer. Prayer of Nehemiah before God, where Nehemiah just says, O Lord, they want to make us afraid that our hands will be weakened from the work, that it's not done. So therefore, O Lord God, strengthen my hands. Where does he have to go? Sometimes you have no place to flee but to the Lord. What a blessing it is to be able to flee to the Lord, isn't it? And to be able to say, O Lord, strengthen my hands. There's where we see Nehemiah calling out to the Lord, knowing what the end result would be, and that the work would be stopped, that it would not be done, that all that was left to be done, the gates to be put there upon in their places, but that it would not be done, that it would be stopped. You know, there's no compromise and in giving to the enemy. They'll only be satisfied when they have completely taken away. You know, we see that in our own day. We see that in our own day, and we see, you know, I think of those in the present homosexual things that have been going on. They ask for one thing, but when they get that, they're not going to be satisfied until they have the whole ball game. We see that here. There's no end to compromise and giving in to the enemy, but they'll not be satisfied until truth is completely compromised. We go down to verse 10. And here we see the false prophets that are rebuked. Verse 10. Here it comes from within. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Methabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come and slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come and slay thee. Here's a message from one who would claim to, and one what it would appear was kind of a confident, a friendly prophet, you would have thought, to Nehemiah. But there's a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy that is going on. There is that has taken place here where Nehemiah says, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. There we recognize that Nehemiah, he says, why should I do that? You know, he recognizes that this is the Lord's work. It's that the Lord has done. He said, should I flee? What would happen if Nehemiah had done that and gone there into the temple and found a safe place where they couldn't get to him? It would have just shown his own fear. It would have fear that would have spread to the rest of the people. He says, no. Why would I do that? I will not go in. He recognized that from verse 12 and 13 that no, this was not of God. But he says, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. You know, sometimes you don't know what's behind all that's going on. But he just said, why should I be afraid? In the 13th verse, he says, therefore was hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. His good was going to be evil spoken of. That I should be afraid, that I should sin, that they would make accusation, that I should be reproached. No, he says, no, I will not do that. Of course, they'd come to him and said, hey, we've heard that they're going to kill you tonight. They're going to come in at night and they're going to get you. You need to flee. Come on, let us go into this safe place. Oh, the tactics of Satan. The tactics of Satan are many and varied. It is certainly a common tactic of Satan too. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Here was a man that should have been his friend. Here was a man that was supposedly coming to speak on God's behalf. But really, here was a man that was a ravening wolf that was coming to seek his destruction. I remember Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, when he was there before with Ahab. Ahab wanted him to come and go to battle with him, and Ahab had all of these prophets that all prophesied and said, yes, this is what the Lord wants you to do. Jehoshaphat was wise enough to say, is there not another prophet? Until they finally brought one, the one true prophet of all of the false prophets, though there was one against many, many, yet the one spoke the truth. Of course, Jehoshaphat wasn't smart enough to not follow, and he got himself in trouble in that situation. You might want to go back and read that in 1 Kings 22 and find out the danger that Jehoshaphat got himself in because he didn't listen to the true prophet. But anyway, the Lord tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves because of where we are. The response that Nehemiah had was rebuke. Said, such a man as I, why should I do that? Verse 14, as you go on, well, my God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess, here there was a woman involved in that, and the rest of the prophets, that they would put me in fear. Nehemiah, his response is committing it to the Lord. Lord, you're going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to deal with these people. What do we see? What do we see taking place? We see the victory that the Lord gave to him as he stood. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul in 52 days. It came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all of the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. as Nehemiah stood for the Lord, as Nehemiah stood for what was right, he didn't go out to have a dialogue with them. And you know, I think if you see the context of what was happening here, they really didn't want a dialogue. I think they desired to take Nehemiah's life and getting him to go out there. Nehemiah had everything to lose if he had followed them. When they couldn't get him to do that, they wanted him to go and hide in the temple. When he wouldn't do that, when their tactics didn't work, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You commit yourself unto the Lord. You come to the Lord and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The result was the enemy was defeated here. The result was the work was completed, and it was a recognition that this was the work of God. When our enemies heard thereof, verse 16, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Now the fact that they recognized it was wrought of God didn't change their designs, as we'll see even as we go on. But the Lord gave the victory. The Lord gave the victory in this. As we come, we bring this to conclusion. We recognize our purpose. What is our purpose? It's to bring glory to God, is it not? It's not to save our own necks. You know, Nehemiah could have thought, boy, you know, they might get me tonight. I better go flee into there. Or, their tactics are gonna work. If this open letter gets out and I'm gonna be cast down with these false things, I better go out. No. His idea was not to bring all men together. His idea was to do that which the Lord had given him to do. When we recognize the intents and the designs of Satan, Satan's designed to use men to accomplish his own purposes. What do? We seek only God's will. We seek God's will. And we leave the results to the Lord. We leave the results to the Lord. He will be glorified. Is not that our purpose, to bring glory to God? What is there in your life that you may be challenged to, that you know it isn't right, but boy, I think I better do it anyway? No, you better just do what's right, because you want to bring glory to God, recognizing that you're a servant. You're to be the servant of God, not a servant of yourself, not to accomplish the things that you want, but is your desire to do what God wants? Oh, that's what I see in Nehemiah. I see in Nehemiah the desire to do what God wants him to do. The desire to follow in the will of God. Though there are false accusations, though there is fear that is seeking to be cast into his heart, he says, who am I? Why should I do such a thing? Don't I trust in the Lord? I will do it. If they take my life, they take my life, but I'm going to do what's right before God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how we thank you for giving us the account of Nehemiah as he works there, and the way you dealt with him, and the way he responded to the enemy. Oh Lord, help us to be a people that respond in a right way. Help us, Lord, not to allow your work to cease because of our own fear, because of those things that enemies would put in the way. But Lord, may we follow thee with all of our heart. How we thank you, Lord, that you are our God, that you will take us and use us even as you would design, if we will submit ourselves unto thee and resist our enemy, the devil. We pray these things even as we ask you, Lord, to show us in our own hearts where this would apply to our lives today. Lord, you've brought us here from various walks of life this morning. you have given to us here to set under thy word. And Lord, for each one, I believe you have that you desire to reveal, that you would desire for us to submit to, that you would desire for us to do, that we might bring glory and honor unto the Lord our God. So we pray these things in thanksgiving, even as we pray, Lord, for your working in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 396.